Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Yuma Daf Chav Gimel. We are holding on Daf Chav Beis and Beis. We're about 9 lines from the end of the page on Daf Chav Beis and Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored anonymously in memory of Nachman Daniel Ben Aryeh Tzvi Morris, Zichron Lebracha, who is learning Daf Yomi amongst all his other siddurim at Shalavim before he was niftar last week in Meron, and whose father Aryeh is a regular listener of our Daf Yomi. And it's also sponsored by a successful surgery or for Shlema for Miral Bas Brachasima, we thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we were in the middle of discussing Shaul HaMelech. That was the conversation we were having. We're about 9 lines from the end of the page, and we're going to discuss a little bit more about Shaul HaMelech and what his unique characteristics were and why it was that he was not fitting ultimately to maintain the Malchus. The Gemara is going to talk about how Talmud Chacham has to have the midos of Nekimo and Netira, even though normally those things are things that we do not praise. Those things are Isurim in the Torah. And then the Gemara is going to go back to discuss the pious and how people, the Kohanim, would stick out one or two fingers, and which fingers they could stick out, and how many times each finger was counted. And the Gemara is going to tell this astonishing story of two Kohanim that were racing up the Mizbeach, and one of them murdered the other one in cold blood, and what the reaction of the father of the victim was when that happened, and what that tells us about the value system of the Kohanim at that time. Then the Gemara is going to give two different explanations of what it means that he's lavash begadim acherim in order to do the hotza'as hadashen. Does it mean that he wears lesser big day kodesh for the hotza'as hadashen, or does it mean that we'll see what the other possibility is for that it relates to a kohen balmum and not really that he's wearing different begadim. Then we have machlokas amurayim. If we allow balmum to do hotza'as hadashen, would we also allow Balmum to do the harama? And the Gemara is going to bring Machlokas Tanayim that we're going to suggest is related to this Machlokas Amoraim. So let's begin again about 9 lines from the end of the page on Daf Chaf Beis and Beis. We are Ben Shana Shaul B'Malcha. The pasuk says in Shmuel Aleph that Shaul was 1 year old when he was a Melech. So Amar Rav Huna, that means Ki Ben Shana. He obviously wasn't actually 1 year old. He was taller than everybody else, the pasuk says. So that would have been that would have made him a Balmum, right? If he was a 1 year old that was taller than everybody else. So what does it mean that he was a Ben Shana? It means he was Kib Ben Shana. He was like he was 1 year old in that Shalotam Tam Chait, that he had never sinned. Maskev Nachmar Yitzchak Ve'ema Kib Ben Shana Shemaluchlach Betitu Betzoa. Maybe it means just the opposite, that he was a mess, like a 1 year old is all dirty and all messy. So Shaul was totally messed up with Averos. Sachvile Rav Nachman Siyuta Bechalmei. Because Rav Nachman suggested that, he had a dream where he was very frightened in the dream, and he realized that he had such a dream because he was being doresh in the gnus of Shaul HaMelech, that he was saying something not nice about Shaul HaMelech. So Amar Ne'nesi Lechem Atzmo Shaul Ben Kish. So he said, I spoke against you, the bones of Shaul Ben Kish. But Hadr Chazas Yuta B'chalmei, again he had another dream where he was very frightened, apparently realizing that even when he was retracting on his the way he spoke about Shaul, he spoke about him as Atzmo Shaul Ben Kish, as the bones of Shaul Ben Kish, which also isn't nice. So Amar Ne'nesi Lechem Atzmo Shaul Ben Kish Melech Yisrael. So he kept the word Atzmo Shaul Ben Kish, but he added a line of kavod of Melech Yisrael. Why is it that he emphasized the bones of Shaul Ben Kish? So the Marsha points out that he referred to the Atzamos because Kina is Markiva as Atzamos. Kina rots the bones. The Gemara tells us in Shabbos Taf Kufnun Beis. So Rav Nachman was trying to say that Shaul didn't have any veros because whatever he did was not because he was mekane b'David and chasing after David, but rather it was his bones are still intact. You could still look at the bones of Shaul and they're still there. So you see that he didn't have that sense of jealousy, that what he was doing, he was trying to do l'shem shemayim. In the Ein Eliyahu, he explains, based on what it says in Kisvei Ari, that the avon, that the averos are chakuk al atzamos. Pasuk says in Yecheskel, vati avonosam al atzmosam. So since Rav Nachman said that Shaul did an avera, he was pogeya in the cover of the atzamos. So that's why he spoke about the atzamos when he was apologizing. So that's why he also mentions his father Kish. The Gemara needed daflamad Ralph discusses Shlosh Shutvin Ba'adam, that the three partners are going to making man, HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his father and his mother, that the father contributes the bones to the person. So he was saying that the Atzma Shol Ben Kish, the Shol Ben Kish, referring to his father because of his bones. Now the reason he added Melech Yisrael, the Divrei Shol explains, was because Shol did everything L'shem Shemayim for the Toelis of Klal Yisrael, not for his own Toelis, because the person who takes over a Malchus, he can't be thinking about himself for even 1 second. He always has to be thinking about the nation. So that's why he added that Melech Yisrael, that he was a true Melech Yisrael. Everything he did was for the sake of Klal Yisrael. That's what one of my Chaverim once told me, that that's what he thought the Pshat was Chasen Dom El Melech, that up until the point that a person gets married in his life, he could be thinking about himself first, but once he's a Chasen, so he's Dom El Melech, and that he's got to be thinking about somebody else before he thinks about himself. That's what a Melech is. He has to be thinking about other people. The Munkacher in the Divrei Torah is quoted as saying that based on the Tosas Yishanim, that when Rav Nachman said he was Meluchluch Betitu Betzoa, he really meant it L'Shavach, that he was an Anav. But the problem is, he said it in a Lashon that's not Mechubad. So normally, you could say that about a person that he was such an Anav that he always acted like he was Meluchluch Betitu Betzoa. But when you're talking about a Melech, there has to be a Kavod for the office. So that's why he was Mesakin it by saying Melech Yisrael, to indicate that his whole problem was that he didn't recognize the Malchus of Shaul. Not that he was saying something bad about Shaul, but that when speaking about him, you should recognize the Malchus and realize that you have to maintain the dignity of the office of being a Melech. Why is it that Shaul's Malchus didn't last for an extended period? Because he had no problems in the Yichus in his family, as opposed to David HaMelech, when the rebound of Shavuos comes from Rus HaMoavia. So there was plenty of Yichus issues, and there are many more in David HaMelech's from Lot, and in David HaMelech's Yichus. That a person can only be appointed to a position of authority over the tzibur if he has some sort of problem in the yichus of his mishpacha. We use the expression kupa shel shratzim, a bag of shratzim that are hanging in his backpack. Shim tazuach taito olav. So if he becomes a balgaiva, he said, just look behind you. Look what's right behind you. Who do you think you are? And that way, we'll keep him humble, because it's very important that the leader be a humble person. So, Amar Avidom Rav, Nemanena Shaul. Why is it that Shaul was punished? That Hashem brought him to that story with Agag that he lost his malchus for. Because at the beginning of his malchus, he was already mochel on his kavod, and a melech can't be mochel on his kavod. It's sometimes melech he has to be matilaima on the nation. Shenemar, because the pasuk describes after Shmuel anointed Shaul to be the king, uvnei b'liyal amru mayoshienu zev yivzu v'lo aviv lo mincha. They were mevazin. They didn't bring a gift. Yikamacharish, and he was silent. Uksivin, the pasuk says v'yal nachash amoni v'yichan al yavish gilad. The nachash amoni came to wage war with the Jewish people in Yavish Gilad and to take control of them. And Shaul saved them, and he defeated nachash amoni, and the people said to Shmuel that we should kill those Bnei Belial that were Mevazah Shaul initially. And Shaul said, no, lo yumasish bayomazel. Let's not do anything to anybody. So you see that he was mochel on his kavod. He wasn't interested in his kavod at the very beginning of his malchus. You know, the pasuk says, vayomer amel Shmuel, miya omer Shaul yimochelenu tenua anashim unimisim. That when they were, the people were saying, we should kill these people who are Mevazah. They were saying, who's the one that said Belashim Bizayon that Shaul Yimlochaleinu Tenu Anashim and Amisim, the ones who questioned whether Shaul should be Melech, let's kill them? And Shaul said, no, let's not. Let's let them be. So he was the people were willing to do it. The people were willing to stand up for Shaul's kavod, but he wasn't interested in that. So because of that refusal, he lost the Malchus. Meaning the shortcomings of Shaul that you find are not personal shortcomings. His shortcomings, he was Adraba. It's great sitkus that. It was shortcomings in terms of the midos that you need to be a melech, that it can't be the greatest tzaddik in the world that has to be a melech. The melech has to have different characteristics. Any Talmud Chacham that doesn't have the midos of Nekima and Netira, that is not vengeful, is not a Talmud Chacham. Vaksiv, what do you mean? The pasuk says, lo sikom, lo sitar. The Torah says, you're not supposed to do those things. Now you tell me every Talmud Chacham needs to do those things? No, ahu b'mamanu, Yichsiv. When the pasuk says Losi Kam Losi Tar, that's talking about if someone affected you in Dine Mamanis. But if it's a matter of Tsar Haguf, then you're supposed to be Nokim Minotar to be Tamil Chacham. Titania, Ezu Nikima Vezu Nitira. What is Nikima and what is Nitira? Nikima is Amar Lo Hashile Nimagalcha. Someone says, can I borrow your axe? Amar Lo Lav. And he says, no. Lamacha Amar Lo, who? The next day, the other guy asks him back, Hashileni Kardumcha, let me borrow your kardum, your shovel. Amar Lo, Eini Mashilcha Kedarik Shal Shaltani. I'm sorry, I'm not going to lend it to you the same way you didn't lend to me. So Zui Nikima, that's Nikima. Exactly what he refused to do for me, I'm going to refuse to do for him the next day. Ve'ezui Nitira, what's Nitira? Amalei Hashileni Kardomcha, Amalei Lo. Lamachalei Hashileni Chalukcha, he says, okay, can I borrow your shirt? Amalei Lo, Heilach Eini Kamoscha Shalom Shaltani, Zui Nitira. And he does give him, he's willing to lend him, even though you didn't loan me your item yesterday, I am willing to lend it to you today. But I make it known to him that I'm doing that even though he refused to lend to me, because I'm a better guy than he is. So when I make that, when I make a point of it, then I'm willing to do it because I'm a more moral and a nicer person than you are. That's called Netira. That's not called Nekima, but that's called Netira. We keep changing the item from a Magal to a Kardom, from a Kardom to a Chaluk. So the Ritva says, yeah, it's just keeps the story more interesting. Otherwise, I mean, you shouldn't read too much into the changing of the item. In Avas Chesed, the Chafetz Chaim writes that the reason we give these examples is because they're all Dvarim Katanim. Magal, Kardom, these are not major things, that you still have Nikima and Natira even by major things. And certainly if you refuse to do for other people in things that really matter and things that will really have an effect on the life, on their life. The Ramban writes that the issue to be Nokim and Notar was not said by things that have a chi of mammon. Like if you're mazik the person, so then certainly you're allowed to go to Bezin and be Toveya, that which you're owed. It's only by things where there's no chi of mammon. Meaning if the guy owes you money, so that's how called Nikimo Natira when you go to Bezin and ask for try to get your money back. If he doesn't owe you any money, then it's just that he didn't do you a favor. That's why the Gemara gives these examples, because one can get the wrong impression if you read the Psukim of what the scope of Nekima and Netira is. Chafetz Chaim writes in Avos Chesed that from all the Rishonim, it seems that the issue of Nekima and Netira is love dafka when you say those words, Eini Mashilcha Kederek Sholosh Al Tani, I'm not going to lend to you like you didn't lend to me, or Heilich Ve'eini Kamoscha, here, I'm not like you. Says Chafetz Chaim, even if you don't say anything, you just know that that's the reason you did not lend to him, or that's the reason you did lend to him, that's also called Nekima and Netira. Meaning, if you feel this smug sense of superiority when you lend it back to him, that's also Netira, even though you didn't tell the person that I'm better than you, but you're thinking I'm better than you because you didn't do for me and I'm doing for you. That's also Netira, which is really, it's a much higher madriga that a person has to reach. Meaning, it's not only not to say it, people have etiquette, you know, you're not gonna go and say those things, but to actually not think it, to not believe yourself to be better than the other person. We have to control our emotions as well. So it says, wait, is there no issur of Nikimu Natira when it comes to Tzar Aguf? It's really only by Mamanis. Va'atanya, but doesn't the Braisa tell us, and love and vain and olden, shomer chaparson and meshivin, osin me'avos, smichin b'yisur, and alein akas v'omer v'av of k'seh shemesh b'gvaraso, that among these very laudable qualities are people who are humiliated and they don't humiliate back. People who hear others make fun of them or mock them and they don't respond to it, and those who do mitzvos from Avas Hashem and not for the sake of being mekabel schar, and those who are smechen be yisurin, and those who take joy in their yisurin. So all of these people, the pasuk in Sefer Shoftim tells us v'avav k'seis Hashem shvurasa, that they're going to shine like the sun, like the light of the sun, la'asid lavo, like the sun in its full strength. So you see, we're meshabeach someone who's not nokem on a pegiah b'kvodo. So you see that it's a tzara guf, and nevertheless we still praise those who are not Nokim v'noter. So what do you mean that a Talmud Chacham is supposed to be Nokim v'noter? So it says, well, the Nakalei Belibe, that really it means he's holding him in his heart, meaning the Talmud Chacham should not be Nokim. He should not say a word. When we said that a Talmud Chacham should be Nokim v'noter Kenachash, it means that he should still be mindful of it for the covet of his Torah, and therefore if someone else does it on his behalf, if someone else stands up to defend his honor, he shouldn't say anything. You shouldn't stop the person from doing so, because you should realize that the person is doing so l'kavod HaTorah, and that it's the appropriate thing. So it's bad form and usher for a Talmud Chacham to stand up for his own honor, meaning it's not right. He should be Shomer Cherposo and not be Meshev on the Cherpa. He should take it, take a few punches. But when someone else gets up and then is willing to defend the Talmud Chacham, if he's so lucky that there are people that are willing to defend the Kavanah Torah, then he should stay quietly as those people defend the Kavanah Torah. But wait a second, doesn't Rava tell us that a person who's mavril midosav, who's willing to take things and is not and is very forgiving, so mavril no al kol pshav, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be forgiving with him as well for all of his haveru. So it sounds like you're not supposed to be makbid at all, even to be notar belibe, even to watch it over, to guard it in your heart and wait to see if someone's going to defend you. It just shouldn't be a thing for you. It shouldn't be something of a matter of concern. That's only when someone asks you for forgiveness. Meaning if the person asks for mechila, you should be very quick to be mochel. But if the person never asks for mechila, then the Talmud Chacham is supposed to keep it in his heart. He's not supposed to do anything about it, but keep it in his heart so when someone else does something about it, he's not going to argue with that somebody else. The Ritva points out that it comes out from this Gemara that a Talmud Chacham that there were pogeya in the kavod of, and the pogeya, the one who's pogeya him is not mefayesim, doesn't ask for mechila, he's got to keep that in his heart. So says the Ritva, wait a second, the Gemara Maseches Megillah tells us that the Amoraim used to have a practice that they would be mochel each and every day before they went to sleep, anyone who was mitzarah them that day. So that's not talking about people who asked for mechila, that's some people who didn't ask mechila, and before they go to sleep at night, they're granting mechila to everybody. So the Ritva says that what we're talking about in the Gemara over here is only matters that relate to Kavod Shemayim. But that which relates to your own personal Kavod, a Talmud Chacham should always be mochel, even before the person asks for mechila. Meaning, even though there's a Kavod HaTorah, it's Torah delay, it's his, he has the right to, but it's a matter of Kavod Shemayim. But if the person is not being Mevaza the Talmud Chacham, he's being Mevaza the whole system of Torah and the whole system of a Torah community and the way Torah is supposed to operate, so then the Talmud Chacham is allowed to feel it. He shouldn't respond to it, but he's allowed to feel it. Other people should respond to it, and the Talmud Chacham should allow other people to respond to it. The Rambam in the 7th Perek of Hilchos Talmud Torah says that if you're pogea boba adam v'seser, you have to be mochel him. And over here we're talking about where he's pogea b'rabim, where it's also to be mochel because of bizayin haTorah. So no kim v'noter is dafka by a pogea b'rabim. So then the Ritva's kasha is not a kasha. That to being mochel b'chol yom, before you go to sleep, is if the person was mevaze him b'seser. But if it was done publicly, so then you're not, then you're supposed to be no kim v'noter. That's where what our Gemara is talking about, that you're no kim v'noter when it's done publicly. Okay, so now the Gemara goes back to discuss the pious that they would do to determine who gets to do the Trumas Hadeshen. Mayin Mutziyin, Achas Oshtayim. So they would stick out either one finger or two fingers. The assumption the Gemara seems to be making in this conversation is that if they stuck out two fingers, it would count as two. So it says the Gemara, Hash Oshtayim, Mutziyin, Achas Mibayi. If you're allowed to stick out two fingers, you double your chances of winning. So of course you're allowed to stick out one finger. So Amar Chisa Lo Kasha, Kan Bibari, Kan Bechola. No, no, no. When we say that you're allowed to stick out two fingers, that's all about a Chola who doesn't have the strength of in his hands, or the dexterity in his hands to pull back the other fingers other than that one. So such a person is allowed to have two fingers sticking out, but not that it gets counted as two. Vatanya in the Bryce, in fact, confirms this. Achas motzin motzin shtayim ein motzin b'med v'amurim b'bari av b'chala filu shtayim motzin. That a healthy person who has the strength in his hands to stick out a finger should stick out a single finger, not two. But if a person is yechidim, meaning he's a chola, then he could be motzi shtayim vein mon lo ela achas. But even if he's motzi shtayim, we're only going to count it once. Vein mon lo ela achas. That true? We only count it once. But Tanya, I'll bring you a brisa that ein motzi in lo shalish v'lo gudal. That among the fingers that he sticks out should not be his middle finger. The shalish is the third finger on the hand, the middle finger. V'lo gudal, nor the thumb. Mipnei haramayim. And the reason not to stick out the thumb is because of the ramayim, that you can stick out two fingers that are very far apart from each other, and the mimuna might count it twice because they're very far apart from each other. The thumb can be very far apart from the other fingers. If he does stick out the middle finger, they do count for that kohen, meaning they don't skip over that kohen. Gudol ein monenlo. But if the kohen is trying to cheat by sticking out the thumb, then we assume he's trying to cheat and he gets penalized by not even counting any of his fingers. We just skip over that Kohen. And not only that, he's going to get Malkus with a Pakia from the Mamuna for trying to cheat the system. But it sounds like we count the two fingers like two. Now, it doesn't sound like we count it like one from the fact that the Brisa says that the Lashon of the Brisa, Hotzi Shlish Moninlo, so I already translated Lufia Maskana, but the way the Brisa sounds like when it says Hotzi Shlish Moninlo, that if he sticks out his middle finger, we count it, makes it sound like we count it and the other finger that he also stuck out. Now we do count it as two fingers, but we just said before that a chola that has to stick out two fingers, we only count it as one. So it says Gemara, Mai Moninlo Nami Achas. No, well, that's what the Braisa means, that if a person sticks out the middle finger together with another finger, we count them both as one because he doesn't get double the chance to win. So Mai Pakia, we then said that if a person tried to cheat by sticking out the thumb, he's going to get whipped with a pakia. What is a pakia? Samarav, madra. A pakia is a madra. Okay, my madra. What's a madra? Amra papa, matrika de tayai. It's the strap that the Arabs used to use to hit their horses. The pasuk reshe, where the tip of it was shredded into a whole bunch of different pieces. So if the tip of the whip was shredded, when it would hit the horses, it would hurt more because it was hitting the horse in a whole bunch of different spots, since it was it was shredded at the edge. So that's what they would give him Malkus with. Amar Abayi Mireisha Avamina. Abayi said, I used to say, Had Tanan, that which the Mishnah says when it goes through the Mamunim in the Migdash, that Ben Bivai Mamun ala Pakia, that Ben Bevai is the guy that was in charge of the Pakia. Amina, I always thought that meant Psilasa, that he was in charge of the wicks for the menorah, Kiditanan, and for the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, for whenever we needed to light things. Kiditanan, because the Mishnah tells us about the Hadlakas HaMenorahs that they made for the Simchas Beis HaShoeva on Sukkis, in the end of Masechah Sukkah, that Mibloim Michnesei HaKohanim, from the worn-out Michnesayim of the Kohanim, the worn-out clothing of the Kohanim, Umeham Yoneh, and then from the Avnetim that they had that were also old and worn-out, Mehenoi Mafkiin, we use that term Mafkiin, and it means they would make wicks, they would do wick-making with the old, but we use the term Pakia, Mafkiin, to describe the wicks, Mehenoi Malikin, and that's what they would light, the big lights for the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, where we said the Gemara in Sukkah tells us that anyone in Yerushalayim could pick barley from that which is from their wheat with little tiny grains from the light of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva in the middle of the night. It provided so much light. So where did they get all the wicks for all this light? From the worn out begadim of the Kohanim. So that's what I assumed when they said that Ben Bevai was the person in charge of Pakiya. I thought he was in charge of the wicks. Kivin the Shemana Lahadatanya. But once I heard this Brisa, that the Mamuna gets Malkus with a Pakia, I mean, my Pakia Nagda. I then realized that Pakia are the Ritsuos that they give Malkus with. That Ben Bivai was Mamuna on the whips that they would use to be Malka the Kohen who sticks out his thumb, or Kohanim Levim that are sleeping on their Mishmar when they were supposed to be Shomer the Mikdash at night. So they would have to whip them a little bit. So that's what Pakia really meant. Okay, now our Mishnah said that originally any Kohen who wanted to come take the Trumas Nesh from the Mizbeach could go do it. And there were a lot of Kohanim, they would have a foot race up the ramp, and whoever got within the first, the Dalai Lama, so the top of the ramp, would be Zocha to do the Truma. And then the Mishnah told us a story that there was a tie to the finish line, and one of them shoved the other one and he broke his leg. And Bezin saw that it was going to be maybe Lidei Sakana, and that's why they introduced this whole system of the pious that we've just been talking about. So the Bryce has another story that's even worse. Not just that one shoved the other one and broke his leg. There were two Kohanim. They were both running up the ramp, and they both seemed to they were shoving. They were both of equal speed. So they're within four amos of each other. One of them got to the four amos. He crossed the finish line, a moment before the other. So Natal Sakin, so the one who lost, took a knife, Vitakalo Belibo, and he stabbed the one who won the race. Amar Rabbi Tzadik al Malos Ulam. So Rabbi Tzadik was standing there on the Malos Ulam by the Arabayis. Amar, and he said, Ribosho, what have we got? What have we come to? Achenu Beisisol Shimu. Hareyu Omer. The Pasuk says, Ki Yumatze Cholabadamu, when you find a dead body. Viyatsu Zakenech of a Shoftech of the Zakenim, and the Shoftim have to go to the Nachal Eisan, and they have to do a whole Egla Arufa. They have to take responsibility. Anu al mila vi Egla Arufa. Who among us is going to take an Egla Arufa? Is it al Eir? It's the city of Yerushalayim. Al Azarus, the Kohanim who guard the Azara. Who's responsible for this? Go kalam bebechia. It was such a passionate speech and such an emotional speech. Everyone started to cry. Ba aviv shel Tinok, and then the father of this Tinok, of this Kohen who was just murdered, came. And he found him that he was still alive. He still had a little bit of breath in him, but he was about to die. So Amar Hareu Kaparaschem, and he said, his misa should be a kapara for all of you. But my son is still alive. He's still mefarper. He's still moving. So the knife that stabbed him is not yet tameh. So let's get the knife out of him so that we're not going to bring tuma into the middash. We're not going to be metame the kelim in the middash. This teaches you shakasha aleim taras kelim yosem shvichus damim, that they were more concerned about the Taras Kalim than they were about the murder and cold blood of this Kohen. V'cheinu omer v'gam damna ki shafach menasha harbe ma'od ada shamileis Yerushalayim pelepe, that there was so much murder that in the times of Menasha Melech Yehuda, in the times of the Bayis Rishon, that shvichus damim was something that people didn't bat an eye when they saw shvichus damim anymore. It just wasn't a matter of concern to them anymore. The Netziv has a very important ha'ara over here. He said, wait, they have this race up the ramp, they're trying to do the Chumash Tadashan, one of them wins, and the other one, in the heat of the moment, on the spot, stabs the other one. Heat of the moment? What was he doing with the knife? Where do you get a knife from? You're running up to do Chumash Hadeshen. There's no need for a knife to go up to do the Chumash Hadeshen. So the Netziv points out, in the Emek HaNetziv, so that it must be that he prepared a knife to do this murder. It was premeditated. Or he must have had a relationship with this guy, and it was a Hechitim, so it was a pretext. Meaning the fact that he won the race was just a pretext, but he was going to do it anyway. He was interested in murdering this person anyway. Also, the Achronim point out, it says Aviv Shel Tinok. Who's doing the Chumash Deshen? You don't have Tinok who's doing the Chumash Deshen. No, but if it's a father and his child, no matter how old the child is, he's a Tinok. To the father, he's always his little boy, no matter how old he is. So says Gemara, Hey Maisa Kadim. So now we have these two stories. One where the other one broke where one coin broke the other guy's leg, and we said, oh, they canceled the whole system of the race. It's not safe. And the other one where one murdered the other one. So which story happened first? Meaning it's hard to imagine, the Gemara is going to say, that the breaking of the leg happened first and then the story of the murder happened, because at the end of the story of the breaking of the leg we said that they changed the system. So why are they still racing to allow the murder to happen? It's also hard to imagine the other way. If the murder happened first, why didn't they change the system then? That's pretty bad. So hey, my sakadim ilay with the shvichus damim, if you can say the murder happened first, hasha shvichus dam lo takinu paisa anish ragla takinu, murder wasn't enough to get them to be misakadim to do a pious instead of a race. But breaking a leg was enough. El Dinish Raglo Kadim. So what do you want to say? That the breaking of the leg happened first? Given to Tekinu Paisa, Arba Amos Mayavid Tayu. But if right at the end of that story of the breaking of the leg, they were already misaking the payasos, so then why did it ever happen that there was another race up the Mizbeach? El Yon Dishvichas Dam Kadim. Must be that the story of the murder happened first. Umeyakar Savar Akrai Bialmahu. They thought it was one Meshugan of Kohen, that this is not something that's ever going to happen again, that this guy is murdering the other guy, that's never going to happen. It just happened one time, because every once in a while you have a crazy person, but that's not indicative of a legitimate concern to happen again in the future. But once they saw that even when it wasn't premeditated that there was going to be sakana, so takin rabban paisa, so then they said, okay, now we have to do something about this. Meaning, like we said from the Netziv before, clearly the murder was premeditated. He brought a knife with him. Clearly he had something. He had a problem with this other Kohen. He was going to murder him. So if it was a premeditated thing, so that could happen anywhere, it could happen in any context, and it really had nothing to do with the race. But once they saw that there was takala coming out from the race itself, in the case of one of them pushing the other one, that was actually in the heat of the moment, that was actually a result of the race, that's when they were misaking to do the payasos. So we described the speech that Rabbi Tzadok gave, that the Torah tells about Egla Arufa, and then he said, Anon al Milahavi, Ali Iro Alazaros. Who brings the Agla Rufa? The residents of Yerushalayim or the Kohanim who guard the Azara? So it says Gemara, Yerushalayim Basasui Agla Rufahi. Is that true that Yerushalayim is even eligible to bring an Agla Rufa? Vatanya, the Brisa tells us, Asar Dvar Nemru Yerushalayim, Vizuachashman. There are 10 things that were said about Yerushalayim within a week of Yom Yerushalayim. So does this count as the Yom Yerushalayim? We'll count it. Vizu Achasman. One of the things that we say about Yerushalayim is Einam Avia Egla Rufa. That Yerushalayim, when you find a dead body in the outskirts of Yerushalayim, they don't bring an Egla Rufa. Va'od. And furthermore, Lo noda mi yikal ksiv. When it comes to Agla Rufa, it's only if you don't know who the murderer was. Vaha noda mi yikal. Over here, it happened right in front of everybody. We know exactly who murdered who. Elokadei laharbos bevchia. No, he was just being dramatic. The din of Agla Rufa is not shayach over here. Rabbi Tzadik was asking this question as a way of saying to be ma'or of the people, to cry a little bit. And it worked. He got people crying. Ba'av shaltino kvansog shum farper. Amar arei kaparaskan v'adayim benikayim lelamad. The Brisa then concluded that the father came and he said, we better get the knife out of here in order to preserve its tahara. So they had a suffix when we said that they valued taras kelim more than they cared about shvichas damim. What does that mean? Shvichas damim who dissolved av taras kelim k'dekayim kaima, or dimu shvichas damim k'dekayim kaima av taras kelim hi dechamira. Meaning clearly shvichas damim should have been of greater concern than taras kelim. But what was the wrong? What was out of whack over here? Did they have the proper sense of what Shvichas Damim is, but the sense of Taras Kalim was totally out of whack? Or did they have a proper sense of Taras Kalim and the sense of what Shvichas Damim is was not nearly what it should have been? So that was the Shaila. So Toshma says, "Mar mit kanasu la Talmuda." From the fact that the Brisa brings a riot to the fact that Taras Kalim is kosher Shvichas Damim, from the pasuk of Vegam Dam Naki Shafach Menashe Shema Mina Shvichas Damim dissolve the Taras Kalim Kaima Kaima. The fact that we quote the pasuk about Menashe, that the streets of Yerushalayim were filled with blood because no one cared about murder. So you see that it was the fact that no one cared about murder, that they didn't care enough about Shvichas Damim. Not that they cared so much about Taras Kelim. Not that either one of those things are good. Meaning, you might say, oh, if they cared enough about murder, so then it's a Maila, that, ooh, they care about Taras Kelim so much, they have such a high... No, that's also crazy. Meaning, if that becomes the highest value, and it becomes a higher value than everything else, that's something that's totally off. Rav Shachter often points out that Rav Nissen Alpert and his hesped for Rav Moshe, Rav Nissen died, I think, like a month after Rav Moshe. He was already, his body was totally racked with cancer by the time Rav Moshe died, and he had no kochos whatsoever, but he insisted on going to the Levaya and being maspid, and he was maspid Rav Moshe. One of the things he said about Rav Moshe, he says, in the parsha of Bali Mumin, the Torah describes that an animal has one leg larger than the other. So even if three legs are the same size, and one of them is larger, so you think, oh, it's a maila that one of them is larger. That's a mum, that a Talmud Chacham is supposed to be a person, or a Jew is supposed to be a person where everything fits, where everything is in the right proportion, where that which is supposed to be big is big, that which is supposed to be small is small, that which is supposed to be emphasized is emphasized, that which is supposed to be de-emphasized is de-emphasized. If you have one thing that's totally out of whack, that's a mum, even if it is something of value. If you give it more value than everything else, then that's considered a mum. So you were saying about Ramesh, that everything just made sense. Everything was, you know, the Ben Adam Chavera was the right amount, the Ben Adam Chavera, the Ben Adam Makom, the Talmud Torah. It all just fit into this this person that just exuded a sense of edelkeit and a sense of sweetness, because it all fit. Nothing was mugzam. Nothing was totally out of whack. So that's what we're saying, that either way would have been bad. But the fact was that Shvichas Damim was something that they didn't value nearly enough. Okay, so the Mishnah spoke about the pious for the Trumas Hadeshen. Trumas Hadeshen is they take a little bit of the Deshen from the Mizbeach and they put it on the floor of the Azara, and it's a mitzvah that they have to do every day. But then the Pasuk says that Upashas B'gad V'lodesh B'gad Mecherim V'hotzias Hadeshen Michutz Machane El Makom Tar. Pasuk describes after the Trumas Hadeshen, aside from the Trumas Hadeshen, the Kohanim had to clear off the Mizbeach from all of the Deshen that was there. So, take it outside of the city to the place called the Shefech Hadeshen, where they would leave, they would dispose of the Deshen. So which begadim would he be motzi the Deshen outside of the city with? Tanu Rabbanan, upashat belavsh begadim acherim, v'hotzias ha-deshen. So Shamani I would understand that kederach Yom HaKippurim, that it's similar to what the Kohen Gadol does when he changes his clothing on Yom HaKippurim, that he changes his clothing from one avodah to the next. First he's in Bigdei Zav, and then Bigdei Lav, and then Bigdei Zav, and then back and forth all day. So it's poshet Bigdei Kodesh, that over here also. He's poshet Bigdei Kodesh that he was wearing for the Harama Sadashin, for the Truma Sadashin, and it says, V'lovish HaKohen Midavar Mechsevad Yom HaShabbosav Reherma Sadashin, and V'lovish Bigdei Chol. So he puts on Bigdei Chol, regular clothing, to do the Otsa. That's why the pasuk says "Ufashos begadav v'lavash begadim acherim." It says begadim after it says begadav. Makish begadim shalovish lo begadim shaposhe. To tell me that the begadim that he puts on for the otzal sedeshen are similar to the begadim that he just took off when we're doing the chumas sedeshen. Malahalon big day kodesh, just like chumas sedeshen, he was wearing big day kodesh. Afkan big day kodesh over here also for the otzal sedeshen, he's also wearing big day kodesh. Imkain if otzal sedeshen needs big day kodesh. Why does it say achirim? Achirim sounds like it's a different kind of beged. So pchus man, they were cheaper big day kodesh than the begadim that he was wearing up until that point. Rabbi Lazar omer achirim vahotzi, that we darshan the word achirim not on the begadim but on the kohen, that it's achirim vahotzi hadashen limer al kohen balimumin shekshirim vahotzi hadashen, that even though you couldn't have a kohen balmum do the truma hadashen, a kohen balmum could come and take over to do the hotzah hadashen. So that's machlokes what achirim teaches me, that he wears cheaper begadim, or that you have a lower level kohen. So Amar Mar, we just said achirim chus mehen, that achirim is that they have a lower level clothing. That the begadim that you cook a pot for your rabbi with, for your master with, you shouldn't then go be mosaic kos with. That you have to have a begadim that fit the avoda that you're currently doing. So the whatever uniform they wear in the kitchen when they're cooking for the master should not be the same uniform that they're wearing when they're serving in the master and they're interfacing with the master. That it has to be appropriate for what you're doing. The poskim quote this, I think Mishavur quotes this when he talks about wearing a talus into the bathroom, that a talus katan you're allowed to wear into the bathroom, Mishavur says, but a talus gadol you're not, because a talus katan is just a regular beged, happens to have dal kanfel, so you have to put tzitzis on it. But a talus gadol is meant specifically for davening. The way we do a talis gadol is meant specifically for tefillah. So the beged that you're going to wear that's dafka miyuchad for tefillah should not be brought into a beis hakisei. Amrei shlakish kamachlokas b'otzah, kach machlokas b'arama. The same way we have machlokas about the hotzah sedeshen, we have machlokas by the truma sedeshen as well. Meaning, can a bal mum do truma sedeshen is also machlokas. Rabbi Yochanan amrei machlokas b'otzah, b'arama devera kol avodhi. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no. The machlokas about a bal mum is doing hotzah. Sadashen. Truma Sadashen, that's an avoda, and therefore for sure a Baal Mum is not able to do Truma Sadashen. My time is Reish Lakish. Why does Reish Lakish think Truma Sadashen is not an avoda? So Amalach, Reish Lakish will say, Isal Kadaita Chavodahi, Yesh Chavoda Shekshere B'Shnei Kelim. If it were really an avoda, can you ever do an avoda without Dalit Begadim, without the four Big Day Kuna? By Truma Sadashen says, V'lova Shakoy Midovad, Umich Nesevad Yilbashal Basaro, and then right away, so it sounds like he's only wearing the mechnasayim and the ketonis. He's not wearing all dalad begadim. Rabbi Yochanan would respond, no, the Torah only identifies the ketonis and the mechnasayim, but kali rachmana b'chutonis and mechnasayim, the Torah only identifies those two begadim v'hu adin l'mitznefes v'avneit. And it's supposed to be understood that the mitznefes, that he's also wearing the mitznefes and the avneit. Of course he is. That's also part of the begadim that he wears. So Maishna Hani, why is it that the Ksonis and the Mechnasayim are mentioned by the Torah? It shouldn't have mentioned any Chiv Big Day Kuna. We would understand that if he's doing an Avod, of course he's wearing Big Day Kuna. Why does the Torah have to emphasize that he's putting on Big Day Kuna? Of course he's wearing Big Day Kuna. So Midovad, Mido Kimidaso. Now by saying Midovad, it's telling me a halacha, that it has to fit him properly, that it shouldn't be dragging on the floor because it's too long. Michlis Evad, Lichdetanya, Minayin Shaloye Dover Kodum L'Mechnasayim. When it says Mechnasayim, it's telling me the Seder Levisha, that how do I know he doesn't put on anything before the Mechnasayim? Shnemar Mechnasayim Yilbash Al Besaro, that he wears the Mechnasayim Al Besaro. So Rashi points out it means that when he's only wearing his Basar, when he's totally unclothed, that's when the Mechnasayim go on. Rashash points out that it's not really true. He doesn't take off his Big Dechol until after he puts on the Mechnasayim. So it's not really Al Besaro. It's just that once he puts on the Mechnasayim, then he takes off everything else before putting on the other Big Day Kuna, so So there is a point where it's Michnas Evad al Basara, where all he's got on is the Michnasayim. But either way, it's the same idea that it's telling us the Seder Levisha. Reish Lakish, well, that we Dafka mentioned Michnasayim and the Ksonas to tell me that the Kohen doesn't need to wear all Dalad Begadim, and it's therefore not extra for a Drasha. How is Reish Lakish going to know these two Alachos about the sizing of the Begadim and the order of the Begadim? Mido Kimidasa, Midafka Rachman Balashon Mido. The Torah could have said Ksonas. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say Ketones. It says Mido. So that tells me that it's got to be, that it's got to fit him. The fact that the Torah chose such an unusual phrase, and Shlo Yedavar Kodal Mechlasayim Me Al Basaru Nafka. The phrase Al Basaru is also extra. So that's there to teach me about the Seder Levisha. Even though in Achinami, the Pasuk itself is also teaching that they only wore two Begadim and not all four Begadim. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll go through how this Machlokas of Yochanan Reish Lakish may already have been a Machlokas Tanayim. Have a great day, everybody.